1 John chapter 1, and I'll begin with verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Then in chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I want you to think about what Jesus has done for us. When God was willing to robe Himself in flesh and dwell among us, when you think about what Jesus left in glory to come to this broken planet, I want you to think about what He did for us. And what you'll come to realize as you study God's word is that Jesus was the only acceptable sacrifice for our sins. No one else qualified. No one else could have satisfied the justice of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the perfection of God. Jesus is the only acceptable sacrifice for our sin. We also learn that Jesus took on the full wrath of God for our sin. When Jesus was upon the cross and He said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," my God, why have you forsaken me? It was in that moment that Jesus took on the full wrath of God for our sin. And then we learn that Jesus paid our sin debt in full. When Jesus was on the cross, He said, "Tetelestai," which means it is finished. Paid in full. Jesus paid our sin debt in full. It reminds me of that little song that's loaded with theology. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And that someone is Jesus. Jesus paid our sin debt in full. I don't want to tell you what else really encourages me this morning. Is that Jesus removes our sin. Not only does He pay our sin debt in full, but Jesus removes our sin. Look with me at chapter 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Notice this powerful word. He is the propitiation. That's a loaded word. The NIV says He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That Jesus was the atoning sacrifice for our sins so that He could remove our sins. Over the last couple of weeks in our home, we've been going through a slight renovation experience, not by choice, but a few weeks ago, we had a few tile pop up and just detached from the slab. And so that moved us into renovation mode, and we had some crews come check it out and give us bids on it. And of course, Tanya said, "Well, if we're going to replace the floor, what about the backsplash?" And so we wanted to make sure those matched. And so the last couple of weeks, we've had a crew in our home working. And the first day, they came in and were popping up all the tiles. And they had put plastic up to try to protect the rest of our home. They popped it up. They would carry it through our kitchen door. And out on the driveway, they put a piece of plastic down, about 6 feet by 12 feet. And they would bring the scraps and just pile them up on that piece of plastic out in the driveway. Well, once they got all the tile and all the scraps out, they then took these flat razor blades that were on poles, and now they were scraping the slab that still had the old thin set that had been down for 17 years. And once they began that process, it really got messy. And just that haze that was floating through the kitchen somehow penetrates through the plastic. And so we had a layer of thin-set dust throughout the house. But finally, they got the slab to a place where it was ready for the new tile. And they came in, they laid the new tile, and it looks beautiful. They put in the new backsplash, and it just matches perfectly. It transformed the kitchen. And I remember Friday morning when I was walking out on that new floor, it just felt good because it was done. And each day last week, the contractor kept calling and saying, "Don't worry about that pile. I got a man coming. He'll be here tomorrow." Well, tomorrow would come, and the contractor would call me again, say, "Stephen, I'm so sorry, but he can't come today, but he's coming tomorrow. He'll take care of that pile. Don't worry about that pile. He's coming tomorrow." Then the next day, same thing. Next day, and I don't know if he was MIA, missing in action or what, he said, "I'll tell you what, by Friday, he'll be there." Then I get a text late Thursday that says, "He can't make it tomorrow. It's supposed to rain." Do you remember what happened Friday morning when the flood came and Noah's Ark was parked out in my front yard? You remember that? Well, that 6x12 sheet of plastic that had all the scraps on it, all the thin set, was enjoying the rain. And it made such a beautiful display out in our driveway. I'm so thankful the Bible says that when God forgives our sin, He places our sin as far as the east is from the west. I'm so thankful because whenever you travel east and you go that direction, you continue to go east, and you will forever go east around our globe forever and ever and ever. It never ends. Or you can go west, and if you travel west and go around our globe, you'll go west forever and ever and ever. So He places our sin as far as the east is from the west. I'm so thankful that God didn't say, "I place your sin as far as the north is from the south." Because if you were to travel north, eventually you get up to the North Pole and you wave to Santa and the elves, and then you're going down south, and then you go through Australia and you pet a couple kangaroos, and then you come back up and you're heading north again. And I'm so thankful God didn't say, "I place your sin as far as the north is from the south." But instead, as far as the east is from the west. So Jesus on the cross removes our sin. But we still combat memory. God has the capacity to place our sin in the sea of forgetfulness, and God chooses to remember our sin no more. But we have a limited capacity. You know how it is. Those things we want to remember, we just cannot remember. But when we want to forget something, we have a hard time forgetting it, especially in the area of sin. And here's what Satan does. You give your life to Jesus Christ. You try to walk with the Lord daily. You try to confess your sin and stay clean before God. And then Satan will say, "Yeah, I see your new kitchen. I see the renovation in what the Lord's done in your life. But just look through that door and walk outside to your driveway. I see a pile of tile." And Satan will remind you of your past. He'll remind you of poor choices you made. He'll remind you of impurities that you embraced. He will always take you outside to the pile. And he'll try to convince you that there's no need for you to pray. There's no need for you to worship. There's no need for you to share your faith. There's no need for you to read God's word. Look at the pile in your life. So Satan will use your memory to imprison you and immobilize you. But I thank God this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ also will utilize your memory, and he will allow you to remember your sin. In Psalm 51:3, David said, "My sin is always before me." Now, why is that? Is it so that you'll be neutralized? Is it so that you can no longer walk in power and victory? No, Jesus will allow you to remember your sin so that you'll never forget what he pulled you out of. So every now and then, you just got to go look at the pile of tile in your life. And it'll cause you to be so grateful that Jesus came to your rescue. You'll be overwhelmed with gratitude. God, how can I serve you? Lord, how can I worship you with such passion and energy like never before? Because I remember the pile in my own life. And it ought to so motivate us and stir us to be passionate in our walk with God. And that brings us to confession. Look at chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Don't miss this. Look at verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, and the word means, in the language of the New Testament, to say the same thing. And what God is saying is, as you confess your sin, confess it instantly, confess it specifically, and confess it accurately. Say the same thing about your sin that God says about your sin. Don't try to justify it. Don't try to rationalize it. Don't try to neutralize it. You just name it what God names it. And you confess your sin specifically. And you may say this morning, oh, but I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't feel really like I should be able to confess my sin that specifically and that accurately. I think I ought to just say, Lord, forgive me my sins. And you're afraid to get honest before God as though you're going to bring God up on your sin. He already knows. God just wants you to get real about your sin. And how do you do that? By confessing your sin. Now look at verse 9. If we say the same thing about our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what I want to ask you to do is I want to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment, close your eyes. And I want us to just spend a moment in confession before Almighty God. And let's get real about sin in our life. And I wonder this morning if we would be as bold as David when he said, "Search my heart, O Lord." Would you be willing to pray that prayer right now? Lord, search my heart. And the light of his holiness will illuminate anything in your heart and life that does not bring him honor. Would you pray that right now as you get honest before God? The Spirit of God living in you will bring specific items to your mind. And I'm going to ask you to confess that before the Lord. Say the same thing about it that he does. I want us to begin with sins of commission, those things we have done that we should not have done, those things we have said that we should not have said. Let's deal with those first. Would you confess those to God? I want you to take a moment confessing sins of omission, those things that God wanted you to do but you did not do, those areas of service you neglected, those opportunities you missed, sins of omission. Would you confess that before God? Lord, we claim your promise that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, thank you for your promise that if anyone does sin, Lord, that we have an advocate with you, Jesus Christ the righteous. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for being the propitiation for our sins, for being the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. And Lord, that you would help us to practice instant confession. And instead of running away from you when we fall, that we'll start running to you. Instead of running to sin to gratify the cravings of our sin nature, Lord, that we will run to you and thus bring honor and glory to you. So we confess our sin before you, O God, pleading the precious blood of Jesus over our sin. And Lord, we rejoice that you place our sin as far as the east is from the west. We thank you that we can walk in victory, that we are clean before you, O God, that we are holy and pure and undefiled, not because of us, but because of you and your initiative. And we now receive that cleansing by faith in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed the message today and that it'll be a source of encouragement to you this week. We desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. It all begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Have you placed your trust in Christ? Well, no one can get to heaven by being good enough. We all have to trust Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven. For more information on this unique life in Christ, as well as more information on Champion Forest Baptist Church, we invite you to go to our website at championforest.org.